break, a texter suggested that Jackson could go to his parents' house and his brother could stand upstairs with a hose, garden hose, and then while Jackson is mowing and weed whacking, mm-hmm. his brother could just run the hose over him, and it would be like he was at a waterfall.
Oh, that's so true.
That sounds like a good solution to me. When we last spoke, we were smack dab in the middle of Leeds, so let's get him in here. Shime, good morning and hello.
Morning, Greg. ESPN, Bill Barnwell, has been ranking the position groups across the NFL, and most recently he did the wide receiver, tight end, running back groups for all 32 teams in the NFL, and your New England Patriots came in at a whopping number 30.
Mm-hmm.
Again, for all these people, for all you people who
pump
think this team is going to win 10 or 11 games, for the love of God, just pump the brakes a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, there's going to be significant improvement. There should be. Your young, able quarterback is taking a step forward. You have slightly better talent, to your credit. Last year, you were ranked 31st at this position group. Now you're 30th, so I guess that's improvement. So you're taking a step forward, and then your defense should be much better, and you have better coaching. You should be a better football team, but to think you're going to go from, realistically, 3 wins to 10 or 11 is insane.
4 wins.
So I just ask...
No.
That last win of the year doesn't count.
Win against the Scrubbeans.
All right.
Against the Buffalo Bills. They're throwing the game away.
Yeah.
So if you think you're going to go from 3 to 10 or 11, you really need to dial down your expectations.
The betting market and
everybody else around the country are telling you you're not.
What do you think they are?
I think they have the ability, the talent to do that. I mean, it's really about when you look at this season, your performance of your quarterback, do you feel like he's going to get better, stay the same, or regress? I feel like with the new coaching staff, he's going to get better.
Are we going to get into any of the Steph Diggs stuff from his YouTube live yesterday during They Said It?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Counting on 1,000 yards.
All right.
He said. So, I mean, if you get that, then, you know.
Your defense is going to be much better. So, with your defense being much better, with your coaching staff being much better, there's an opportunity based on what your schedule looks like. There's an opportunity where you should be able to win 9 or 10 games.
Hopefully, your quarterback is better.
I think your quarterback's going to be better.
Depending
on what the offensive line is and what.
Well, your offensive line should be better.
Right.
You drafted.
Well, what Will Campbell is going to be? I mean, yes.
My expectations are he should be really good. You don't draft a guy number 4 overall and then kind of be like, well, let's see what he is. No, you draft a guy number 4 and you go, he's the left tackle. He should be pretty good.
He better be good. All right, Shime, thank you. Interesting. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning. I don't want to step on Greg's toes because Greg usually tackles some new Gen Z trends, but I saw this one and I thought, maybe Curtis is onto something.
Okay.
Because Gen Zers are doing this new thing in the workforce called micro-retirement.
Why does everything with Gen Z have some sort of a cutesy name?
Yeah, well.
Micro-retirement.
Micro-retirement.
I see.
It can be presented in 3 different ways.
Okay.
One is quitting a job and finding a new job when you're ready to work again. So deciding to quit your job in May and say, all right, I'll take the summer off, get a job for September.
Okay, that's a micro-retirement.
Micro-retirement.
Okay, I see.
The second way is setting up a plan with your employer that allows you to take unpaid frequent work breaks. The examples I've been seeing is 2 2-week vacations a year.
Okay. Oh, 2 2-week vacations.
Yeah, so
a year.
Big chunks of time, two different times of the year.
What do they do about paying the macro bills that the rest of us have?
Oh, we'll get there. Okay. We'll get there.
Okay.
And the third is taking breaks from your business if you are a business owner.
I see. Okay.
So making sure somebody is in charge.
Uh-huh.
Now, experts are saying that micro-retirement may have long-term impacts on your finances and career advancement. They're
really?
Saying if you want to do this, you need to make sure that the setting up the plan with your employer is a paid leave. And if you quit your job, make sure that you have some type of severance pay if you get canned. Or make sure that you have some other form of income for that little period of time. Or make sure you save before you decide to quit. But apparently Gen Zers are doing this like... If they're quitting their job, they're doing it almost every 2 years so that they take a big period of time off, get a new job.
Yeah. When my old man, Barry Hill, used to get home from work miserable, he used to tell me, enjoy being a kid, because as soon as you turn 18, you're going to have to work for the rest of your life.
Right.
That's not a thing anymore. Yeah.
No, clearly not.
You just figure out how to pay the bills.
Well, I guess a lot of times the parents pay them.
You don't like the parents pay the bills?
Okay. Probably.
And then you don't. If you don't like your job, you just micro-retire and take a few weeks off.
Well, Wiggy's right. I do believe that Gen Zers, a lot of them are still living with their parents. Like, the age of moving out is going back to going up and up. Mm-hmm. So maybe they don't need to worry about the bills aspect, and they just want to enjoy their life at a young age. But yeah, so micro-retirement is on the rise for Gen Zers.
Okay. Like, where are you getting...
Anybody fear at all for the future?
Oh, yeah.
In general?
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't really work. So, like... I can't really judge these people.
Yeah, but we have to come in every... We can't take, say, you know what? I want 2 weeks here and I want 2 weeks there.
Well,
and
Curtis is micro-retiring
right
now.
Well, I guess we can't do that. But we can't say, you know what? I'm going to work and then I'm going to quit the radio, take the summer off, and then I'll just start working again back in the fall. Like, what kind of jobs are you working where you could just quit and find another one? And still, we talk about how difficult or how expensive it is to live in Massachusetts and Boston, and trying to find a job is hard. So where are you living? How are you paying?
They're living in a micro house and driving their micro cars.
But it's also weird.
During their micro retirement.
Though, because a lot of what I'm hearing is people graduating from college are having a hard time finding a job. So once you find a job, you should hold on to it.
Yes, you should. I agree with you.
A good career, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So I'm not sure if we're going to play this audio, but Brad Stevens, when we've been talking about what Bill Chisholm is trying to do, and I'm not sure if we're playing that.
We can.
Okay.
We can play it during They Said It. We have a couple things from Brad Stevens.
All right. So he said the direction that Bill Chisholm, potentially or wants to go in. And when you look at the Celtics, I think it's a clear picture of what they are definitely doing for next season until maybe Jason Tatum gets back. And we kind of knew this, or we were like, all right, this is what they're going to do because Wick told us. But it clearly looks like they are cutting costs over there. And we've seen it now. We're seeing it with Al Horford. We're seeing it with Luke Kornet. Because the one interesting thing in the audio that we played of Brad Stevens talking about Al and Luke Kornet was he said, well, we gave them offers. So clearly they must be giving them kind of lower offers if these guys are going other places.
Yeah.
Basically the point of this whole thing is that we now know what Chisholm is going to do, at least for next year. Hopefully that's not the mindset for the year after that, because he feels like it's going to be difficult to make money because I'm also paying rent, and this is part of maybe some of his cost-cutting stuff.
Yeah. So you're hopeful that the second apron stuff just affects this upcoming season.
Yes.
And then the man is willing to open up the checkbook after that.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm hopeful for. But based on what we're seeing right now, he's like, I'm coming in, and we are giving everybody a haircut in the
sense. I just think my only concern with the Celtics for this season, and maybe it just doesn't matter, they don't have a center. What's their plan there?
Well, it probably is going to be Tillman. It's going to be the Luka Graza kid, and it's probably going to be Namus Keita. Oh, and then they draft a center kid. I know they drafted the kid from Argentina. I believe he was a center, but who the hell even knows if he plays?
All right, Wiggy, thank you.
You got it, brother.
The other night, post game, Roman Anthony was asked about the effect that Alex Bregman has had on him as a player and on others. And here is the way that went.
Roman, last question. You mentioned Alex Bregman. We know how big he is for so many guys on this team. But having him come back and on the field this week, how important is that going to be?
It's huge. You know, he's like a coach in there right now. He's awesome. And, you know, he's such a great baseball brain. He's been such a huge help to me since spring training, really. Even talking to me when I'm in the minor leagues, you know, helped me game plan, helped me just, you know, go in there with a plan every day. He's got so much knowledge, and he helps each and every one of us. So just to get him back in this lineup, we obviously know what he is as a player, and he's a winner, and you know, we're super excited to have him back.
So when I saw this Monday night, the first thing that came to mind was, if you are Craig Breslow and you are Sam Kennedy and you are John Henry and you have a player like Alex Bregman who is hoping to get an extension, give it to him. Mm-hmm. Give him whatever he wants. You have the money. You thought maybe Devers was going to be your guy mm-hmm. when it came to being a leader and a face of the franchise going forward, and you decided that he's not. So, Alex Bregman, you cannot overestimate the value of having a veteran leader who is willing to work with the young guys, mm-hmm. willing to be not only out there on the baseball diamond performing for you, but also to be another coach.
Mm-hmm.
Get the deal done with the guy immediately. Give him what he wants. I don't care. Somebody, I'm sure the texts are going to be, oh, he's injury prone. You haven't had him for the full season. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give the guy whatever he wants. Get a deal done. And then you're locked in with a veteran leader mm-hmm. and your young guys going forward when it comes to this baseball team.
Yeah, I mean, because clearly you hear that audio and you go, all right, one guy is willing to help out the young guys and you know, give some advice and give some insight where the other guy wouldn't even pick up the phone for Big Poppy.
Yeah, right.
So if he's not going to answer Big Poppy, you think he's going to help out the younger players? So if you're about, you know, trying to build your franchise or trying to kind of start this new move when it comes to culture and vibe, then you clearly want guys like Bregman who are good leaders and are still pretty productive when they're on the field.
Yeah. All right. Well, and the good news appears to be that you are getting Alex Bregman back maybe this next series.
Well, yeah, that's what it seems like, right, for the Tampa Bay series.
We will get to talk to Craig Breslow about that when he is on this show tomorrow at 9 during the front office report. Here now is Courtney with what is trending this hour.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Red Sox take another against the Rockies. 10-2 was your final at Fenway last night. Trevor Story had a 3-run homer to help in the win, while Jarren Duran had the longest homer at Fenway so far this season, a 456-footer. Anti-jinx from Wiggs yesterday. Brian Baio pitched a complete game, giving up only 2 runs on 5 hits while striking out 10. So you're right. He is performing pretty, pretty well.
I think, it hurts me to say it. I think you have to deal Jarren Duran. And get yourself, we were talking about it yesterday. I don't know if it was Baseball Brett or you, whoever brought it up. Get yourself another pitcher.
Right.
You got, like, if you can, you got Crochet.
Yep.
Guys is going to be a Cy Young winner. You got Lucas Giolito pitching tonight and coming on fine, I think. Mm-hmm. And maybe, just maybe, you can count on Baio going forward. And I think you have to deal Jarren Duran.
If you can get another legit starting pitcher for Duran.
And some relief help.
And bullpen help, then you deal him all day long.
But it was interesting to hear Brett say yesterday that he would wait till after the season because a lot of teams, if they want Jarren Duran, they're trying to make a run for it. They're not going to give up a big pitcher.
Right.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, some people think they should have dealt him last offseason.
Right.
Like, if you want to point out mistakes made with the Breslow man. Mistakes the Breslow dude.
The Sox will try to sweep the Rockies tonight, 7:10 first pitch with Lucas Giolito getting the start. Will Fleming and Brooksy on the call right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Join Christian Arcan at 6:10 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. Over to the Celtics, it seems we will be saying goodbye to Al Horford. Brad Stevens gave the fans an update on Al yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
I don't know what I can say about this or not say about it. I mean, we made offers to both Luke and Al. We would love to have had both of them back. I'd say that's unlikely. And, you know, the only reason I haven't talked about Al is because that's not final. I could probably talk about Al my whole press conference and not say enough. But, you know, I don't want to speak in absolute terms until an ultimate decision is made.
I think that's smart by them. I mean, Al Horford, he's a good role player. You kind of know what he is, but You don't want to spend a lot of money to have him come back for a team that's not going to really go anywhere.
No, I mean, love what he gave here.
Right.
And was here two different times and love what he gave. But I think that's a smart business move.
If he wants, you know, $20 million or $18 million, let him go get it, Golden State, and have legitimate one of those other teams that are interested in him, that he'll have a better chance of legitimately winning a championship rather than you spending, you know, $18 to $20 million on a guy that that's going to be on a team that might be what, fourth seed.
Yeah. Well, we all know summer is the easiest season for weight loss. Warm weather, lighter meals, being outside, our bodies are primed to succeed. And Awaken 180 has your game plan. Reach your goals this summer with Awaken 180, the official weight loss program of summer. That's what's trending. They said it. Coming up next.
Well, we got the sunrise part out of the way. Next, it's sunburn and then sunset and shine. We should open up the Window World of Boston weather window in Curtis's absence if we could. And if you could poke your head outside, what do we got today? More hot weather?
No, so Greg, it'll be warm but not too hot today. It's currently 67 degrees and raining here in the city of Boston. The high today, only 75. There's going to be kind of off and on showers until after lunchtime today. Then it'll just be cloudy the rest of the day and warm but not too hot, which is nice.
Okay, and I'm focused on the weekend, as many are. Saturday looks like it's actually now going to be a nice Saturday in the summer.
Yeah, so 77 degree day on Saturday, partly cloudy. There's going to be, it looks like currently there's going to be a little rain in the morning, Greg.
Chime, but I don't want any rain on the weekends.
By the it's time you actually get up and have your acai bowl, you'll be fine, okay?
Okay, all right. Well, very good. Mm-hmm. Window World of Boston can get you a whole house full of new energy efficient windows installed for just $99 a month. Go to windowworldofboston.com.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
They
don't let the Sox win this game.
Said it.
I'm just gonna say, they want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
They said it. On the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not talking about this.
Everybody got the message?
They said it is brought to you by Ketch's Law. They are honoring those who built this incredible city, whether they drive or construct, or whether they are masons, or whether they operate heavy machinery, or whether they care for others. Please nominate somebody who you think deserves to be honored when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. That's WeBuiltThisCity.com. Where should we start today, Shine?
Well, Greg, let's begin with Will Clark, because the other day on the afternoon program, Will Fleming had told everybody that Rafael Devers had blown off Will Clark the first 3 days he was with the San Francisco Giants about taking grounders or any even pointers about first base. Nothing crazy, not a drill session, but
no.
Come out in the field before the game,
little
talk
mentoring.
About it. Yep,
little advice
mentoring.
From a guy who had a long career.
That was pretty good.
Yep.
So go ahead.
Nothing too crazy. Well, here was Will Clark explaining that situation.
Yeah. Devers comes over from Boston,
and you have
an opportunity to meet him.
Right. So Matt Williams and Bob Melvin want me to go out there and work with him around first base. No problem. And we weren't gonna like go through anything physical. We're just gonna walk through and say, hey, look, if throw's coming from over there, stand this way. If throw's coming from over there, stand that way. It wasn't going to be this big thing, right? And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he did not come out early at all, period. Not at all. Matter of fact, he didn't even hit on the field, right? And everybody's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, Will. I'm so sorry. I'm like, hey, don't worry about it. I said, I know what the happened. I said, he didn't want to go out and be at first base and be 20 feet in front of their freaking dugout with, you know, what went on in Boston. And now he's working with me at first base. He didn't want to have to go through all that bull.
All right. I'm getting dink vibes when it comes to Devers. Like
massive dink vibes.
You're willing to blow off David Ortiz.
Uh-huh.
You're willing to you just arrived at work. Aren't the first week at a new job, aren't you supposed to be gung-ho and ready to do everything and they want you to spend a little time with Will Clark, and you're blowing it off three times in a row?
Yeah, it's a bad look.
Okay, you finally admit that.
I have always said that it's a bad look, that Raffy Devers comes across like a dink. I just think that everything started with the way the Red Sox treated him. Like, it all started from the top.
Yeah.
Now that is... There's no excuse for him now being on another team and treating them quite similarly.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, Sound of Muzak in the Twitch chat says they are fine with a dink that can rake. So,
Is he really even raking?
No, not right now. No. But he's still a good hitter. So, but you have to be... If you're going to be fine, then you got to be... I don't know. I feel like you have to be, like, if I'm going to deal with some of the BS, maybe you're getting a little bit of a slump here and there, but I need you to be, like, Judge or Shohei, where you're constantly, like, raking all the time. And this year, he just kind of wasn't doing that for a period of time. And I think that with the Red Sox, they just felt like all the BS that came with...
They just didn't want to invest $30 million in a guy... As the leader of men and a face of a franchise,
mm-hmm.
who wasn't willing to be a good teammate. That's it. And I honestly, I think it's the right move. In the end, it's going to turn out to be the right move. You got him out of here. Like, and Curtis would completely disagree with me if he were here. And he thinks Curtis took to social media to say that the Red Sox are... smearing his good name, and that this is coming from the Red Sox.
Curtis's anti-Red Sox take, mm-hmm. because he can't come to terms with the fact that they're being good now, and he's been railing against them, especially Trevor Story, for the last 3 weeks.
And it's really not the Red Sox doing this. Is Will Clark, San Francisco Giants. This is what they're saying they're dealing with, or he's saying he's dealing with Devers, right? Mm-hmm. So the Red Sox talked about what they felt like was going on when Devers was here. Then when he leaves, don't we start to believe that, all right, maybe you didn't return Big Poppy's text message, which is kind of baffling. So, like, these are things to start to show, like, all right, this is some of your behavior.
This is Joe from Lowell. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's up?
Hey, you know, I mean, Courtney, when the Red Sox first started messing with Devers at the beginning of the season, you could say he was being a dink. But now he's just a straight-up baby. Mm. I mean, call the Wambulans on this guy. You don't get your way, and 6 months later, you're still bitching about it, not showing up for Will Clark. I mean, this guy's got to get a grip.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the beginning, Courtney and I agree. Like, I put it on the Red Sox for not communicating. But now the more and more that we kind of see what's going on, it's just like, all right, just go out there. So what if you're 20 feet away from the dugout? Like, just go out there and play the pot and make it look good.
And, I mean, I guess I could sort of understand if he didn't want to do it in front of his teammates, but... That just goes to show how he feels inside, mm-hmm. from my perspective, about letting his teammates down by being such a jackass about giving first base or even third base a go when they needed him when Bregman went down. I don't think he's being super respectful there. He knows that he's going to look like an idiot in front of his teammates, mm-hmm. if he's out there willing to play first base as soon as he gets there.
Yeah, he's not like he's really the kid who's just taking his ball and going home.
Yeah. Big Country in the Twitch chat says we're taking it out of context. How are we taking that out of context? That's exactly what Will Clark just said.
Yeah, we literally played the entire cut of what Will Clark said.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Well, Greg, let's talk about something maybe a little bit more positive. I know Steph Diggs going through a breakup, but he seems like he's getting ready for the NFL season. Here he was talking on his YouTube, Greg, about learning the Josh McDaniels playbook and the concepts that go along with it.
I'm studying, you know what I'm saying? But it's really the route concepts. Like, basically, if you hear a word, you need to be able to
know the word immediately, know the concept. You know what I'm saying? So really, I'm just working on my memorization. Like, you know, I got the formation, but once I need to know the concept. Like, I don't need to know exactly what I got. I need to know what somebody to the right or to the left of me got. So what everybody got around me, how I'm gonna get open or how I'm gonna get somebody else open. You know what I'm saying? In between 2 to 3 seconds when you break the huddle, I'm start looking at the contour of defense. I call it a contour of coverage. It's like the same shit as the coverage, but I start figuring it out. But you know that by knowing what you got. You know what I'm saying? I can't be thinking about what I got and trying to figure it out. I can win at any given time, but it needs to just become, you know, second nature.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Guys dialed in. Got rid of the Cardi B distraction, Wiggy. Yeah. And he is dialed in and ready to go. It's all football.
I don't know, but there were multiple reports out there that they ain't technically over. But yeah, you got to.
What, that they're not over?
Yeah Cardi B and. There was a video of them working out.
So why did she scrub him from her Instagram?
But then she reposted something with them, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Maybe they're back.
Maybe it's a ploy for something bigger, you know? Maybe there is an album coming.
Well, there's an album coming, but I think it's coming in like September. So. But, you know, just
build up to it, though.
Yeah, learn the concepts. You know, that's the biggest thing when you get to a team like New England where they use a lot of, like, words to put together a concept. You know,
was it harder here for you to learn than when you went to the Vikings or.
No, because the Vikings ran.
Or what, like, whatever?
No, because the Vikings ran a West Coast offense, so they use a lot of words, too. But it's different from, like, the number scheme where Chad Ocho Cinco used to have in Cincinnati where, for example, you didn't get too deep in the weeds, but they might say, okay, we're going to go hunt, streak, circle. And hunt means a hitch and an under. Streak, circle means a seam with a hitch route. So you have to know what hunt means. Or if you hear the word topper, it's two posts or 10, two ends. Like, so you got to know what those mean.
A lot of words.
Yeah. So when, you know.
Is that where you first started determining that you should always use a lot of words?
Well, yeah, a lot of words. I remember when I first got to the Jets with Parcells and it was like playbook, and it was a lot of word concept. And then there's the number concept, which is easy, where it just. It says, you know, 485, and the 4 is a comeback, an 8 is a post, and a 5 is a deep dig or something like that, which tells you exactly what to do. So
wasn't easy for Ocho Cinco.
Yeah, that's because he came from a number concept. He just know, okay, I got a 4 route. I know what I'm running. Where then he comes here and he has, like, Steph Diggs saying, I have to start remembering these words. I got to start remembering these kind of concepts for what these words means, and they could be anything. It could be, you know, Courtney Cox means, you know, a corner and an out, and now you have to remember that.
Yeah.
So.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, Greg, let's go to Brad Stevens. Wiggy had a great lead about the Celtics this morning. We can hear from Brad Stevens' press conference yesterday and talking about why those trades of Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis really happened.
I mean, the second apron's why those trades happen. I think that those are pretty obvious. And the basketball penalties associated with those are real. We've all talked about that, but we were fortunate because we liked the guys we got back, you know, and I think that that's one of the things that, you know, we are excited about. But yeah, like Drew Holiday is I think he stamped his Hall of Famer candidacy here if he didn't already have it. And, you know, we'll look forward to watching and again rooting and following him from afar. But he's as good of a person as you could ever have in your building and as part of your team. And KP, you know, he fought some of the stuff health-wise in the last 2 years. But, you know, when he played, he was awfully good. And we think he'll be awfully good for Atlanta this year. And, yeah, those are not easy trades to make. Those are not easy phone calls. Obviously, those guys have been around the league a long time. They knew the CBA. They knew that. That was a high likelihood that they could be part of a move, and they were communicated that before. But it's still hard when you are. But, you know, again, we will miss them, and we're thankful for them.
You believe him? He is saying that it was basketball penalties, not the financial considerations when it came to those guys.
But isn't the financial situation... Well, doesn't it go hand in hand with the basketball penalties?
If Curtis were here, he'd tell you no. He would tell you that this is all about money and that you got a new owner who's paying $6 billion for the team. And so I mean, Wick was first on this show to say it was the basketball penalties that are associated with it that they were going to have to deal with.
Which includes, like, limitations on trades, free agency signings, and draft pick usage. Like, you lose that mid-level exception.
Yeah,
that
I don't think
theoretically
it's that, though.
Use on a guy like Damian Lillard right now.
Yeah, I don't know about that because some of those, and I don't know the world good enough, but some of those, like, mid-level basketball exceptions and trade things, I don't think that's like a big deal when it comes to whether or not you want to keep a good guy who makes a lot of money.
But you can, so like when it comes to free agents, though, Wiki, you'd only be able to sign free agents to minimum contracts if you're in that second apron. So like that's a pretty restrictive penalty in terms of offseason.
So you could,
especially when you have your best player out injured for an entire
so
year.
If you were, so for example, and the Joker declined the option to sign with Denver. And I think next year he can make more money, but he'll be a free agent. So if you're in those basketball penalties, you don't have the ability to make a run at a guy like the Joker?
That is correct. According to what I am reading, that is correct.
All right. Well, if that's the case, then all right, I get it.
I mean, in the Twitch chat, Rocco says that if Bezos bought the team, you'd be dealing with the exact same things that they're doing right now.
All right.
Doesn't matter how much money somebody has. Okay. But I don't know.
All right. Well, I'm glad somebody filled me in on that because, you know, that's...
Anything else, Scheim?
Nope, Greg, that'll do it today, my friend.
Okay, thank you. That is They Said It. Coming up the news with Courtney next. Still plenty of time to leave us a Hill Note on the Odyssey app, and you can leave that voice note on any topic, whether we are discussing it, have discussed it, have yet to discuss it, thoughts, inside information, whatever you want, any no topic that cannot be covered with a voice note for this show, please leave it now, and we will play the best ones back at about 9:20. But here is Courtney with today's news.
Some paddleboarders on the Cape experienced one of my biggest irrational fears. Margaret Bowles and Maddie Cronin were roughly 100 yards off the shore near Stony Beach in Falmouth on Friday, right before sunset, decided to go out there on their paddleboards and take some photos. Bowles says she saw something pop up next to her friend Maddie's paddleboard and snapped a photo. That's when they realized it was a fin. They both paddled in and called 911 to alert those of a nearby shark.
Oh, my God.
They then sent the photos and videos they got to the New England Aquarium, who confirmed they had an encounter with a great white shark.
It was a great white?
Wow. Yep, right off of Woods Hole.
Holy smoking Toledos.
Yeah.
This could happen to Coach. Coach, thank God you didn't encounter a great white in Lake Winnipesaukee.
Well, I know great whites out there, so...
And you were on the paddleboard.
I feel very comfortable. Only thing encounter in the lake might be a piranha, but I don't think there's any piranhas in Lake Winnipesaukee.
I think you're good there. We can hear from Maddie Cronin on BZ.
And I was like, oh, like, take a picture of me, take it, right? And then next to her board, this, like, 8-inch out of the water, like, fin. It's, like, fleshy and gray, and I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Mm-mm. That is so scary.
Nope. No siree,
yeah.
Bob.
Yeah.
Well, you have to be careful this time of year.
Especially in the Cape. Like, the Cape is like shock country.
Did you see the dude, the viral video of the guy who was fishing for sharks on Nantucket, caught one, and then, this is on Monday, and then went to put it back. The Nantucket Current had it on their Instagram. Went to put it back in the water, and the thing bit him.
Mm.
And he had to be med-flighted off of Jesus. Nantucket because of the bite that he got. It was a sand shark, but... I try to put the thing there. Oh, yeah, Mitch has the video. So they're trying to put the thing back in the water, which I appreciate.
I'm scared.
The whole thing is a risky proposition. Like,
right. Why not just call animal control and let them do it? That's their job, isn't it?
You're fishing for, I'm assuming that it wasn't big enough to keep. Like, why are you fishing for them in the first place?
Right.
Well, I mean, he's not fishing. No. Is he fishing for sharks?
Yes.
Or is he fishing and he got a shark?
No. He was fishing for sharks. Like, you are allowed to, There's some sort of new regulation or something, I think, that allows you to fish for sharks.
Really?
Yeah, and they put them back. So it really is more of like a game. So it's to get the photo, really.
Is that what it is? Look at him. He's like, uh-oh.
Courtney, is there anything more off-putting on dating profiles than dudes holding fishes?
You know what? That's such a Southern thing. When I lived in Charlotte, every man, every photo was him holding a fish. Every single one.
Yeah, they love their fishing.
You don't really get it a ton in Mass.
You get it probably New Hampshire, Maine more than anything.
Yeah. Right up there, though, is guy on radio show holding up two boxes of Pokemon cards that he is buying from Santo. Right up there.
Bro, don't hate the player, hate the game.
It's a deal breaker. It's a deal breaker, Sean.
I hope you get some good ones in there.
Big business, Shime.
So I took a quick glance. I didn't really go through each one individually yet, but I saw one that was pretty decent, I would say.
Right. Really?
Yeah, a couple hundred.
Define pretty decent. Like, what's the value?
Like, probably like $230.
Really?
$240? Yeah.
Wow.
So so that's just one of them.
Yep, correct. So that was the best one. But
what kind of check are you going to stroke for Santo on both boxes?
We'll see. Well, I will go through and I'll price them all out and I'll send him a nice itemized list so that he can see, and we'll negotiate.
I'd say at least 500.
Somebody was texting in earlier saying there's an app.
Multiple.
There's several?
Yeah. So
several apps in which you can check the value of your cards?
Yeah, so Santo, really smart guy, got his graded through PSA, which is a professional grading service. And so you can just use their app or website if you want. You can look up the cert number so you can make sure it's like a legit card, not a counterfeit. And then you can also use other apps like Alt or Price Charting in order to find the...
Who is getting counterfeit Pokemon cards?
Courtney, you would be shocked. There was actually a robbery in New Bedford at a Pokemon store yesterday, or 2 days ago now, I think, and they stole nearly $150,000 worth of product, which was just like 10 cards and a couple box sets, which
probably
is insane.
Like the Dupe Louie bags.
Subaru of New England text line. 508 text from somebody on the Vineyard. Good morning and hello to those of you who listen to the show on Martha's Vineyard. Thank you. The guy who was catching the shark, I'm an experienced fisherman on the Vineyard. He was being an idiot on the release. You can fish for sandbar sharks and catch them easily. A lot of people do it. It's the release that was the problem.
Okay.
Yeah, they waited a long time in the water with the shark.
Yeah, just let the thing go. Right. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Put him in the water and get the hell out. Right there. Let him right go and hit to the get back on the shore.
Yeah.
All right. What else?
Jim Hawkins, a state rep here in Mass, has introduced a bill that would prevent any law enforcement officers in Mass from wearing a mask or personal disguise while interacting with the public while performing their duties. So they would be required to have their name or badge number on their uniforms. This is obviously an attempt to prevent ICE agents from wearing masks while on the job.
ICE agents are wearing the masks because they're being doxxed.
Right.
And their families are in danger.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, we can hear from ICE acting director Todd Lyons on this.
People are out there taking photos of the names, their faces, and posting them online with death threats to their family and themselves. So I'm sorry if people are offended by them wearing masks, but I'm not going to let my officers and agents go out there and put their lives on the line and their family on the line because people don't like what immigration enforcement is. They are wearing those masks because we ran an operation with the Secret Service. We arrested someone that was going online, taking their photos, posting their families, their kids' Instagram, their kids' Facebooks, and targeting them. So let me ask, is that the issue here, that we're just upset about the masks? Or is anyone upset with the fact that ICE officers' families were labeled terrorists?
Mm. So let me get this straight. This guy in Massachusetts filed a bill.
Jim Hawkins, yes.
Jim Hawkins. So the same guy who told you that you had to wear a mask to protect yourself from the flu now wants to tell people that they can't wear a mask to protect themselves online, being doxxed, their families being threatened. Get out of here. Get out of here with that.
Can somebody explain this to me like...
Because you're a moron and you won't wear a mask.
Get out of here. Well,
explain it to me like I'm a moron. I'm a 5 years old.
Get lost.
Isn't ICE just going and removing people who are here illegally?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that is, I've explained it to you like you're an idiot, as you asked.
Right.
Yes.
So
that's what they're doing.
I think some people don't like the force that they're taking or the way in which they're going about it. That's the issue people have with
Or they just have an issue with the whole policy, and they're taking it out on the guys who are, and ladies who work for ICE, who are doing their job.
Right, because you just say, all right, we know you're illegal, and we just got to put you on cuffs, and you got to go, and you say, okay, there's probably not much force there, right?
All right, we got to take a break. We will get to the rest of today's news coming up, including Florida Not Like the Rest of Us. And how can you celebrate a 57th birthday in the Anything Goes state of Florida without meth and without theft of a public transportation vehicle? We will get to that birthday celebration next.